This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
I'm just looking at this Fox 5 New York website. Quote, electric vehicles are exploding from water damage after Hurricane Ian, Florida officials warn. End quote. Bert's with us. Welcome, Bert.
Ben, I'm happy to be here. And, you know, I just added to our class syllable for today to discuss EVs once again, because overnight, and I'm going to have more on this for probably subsequent classes, but Vince, this one's going to, are you sitting down?
I am sitting down.
This one's going to have you jumping out of your chair. And I'm worried the switchboard at USA Prepares. Make sure you have those pegs in correctly. Because
I got them in.
There are people who are now converting their EVs, converting their Teslas to run on gasoline.
So let me ask you, what is the purpose of buying a Tesla and converting it to a V8? What? What do you get?
Well,
what do you get? I mean, it requires, literally, Bert, it requires a saber saw, a jigsaw, a sawzall, where you have to cut a hole in the front of that nose to let the air go into a radiator that you're going to have to install.
That's correct, Vince. Well, there's all different reasons, and there's a few different methods. So I scrambled to try and research as best I could for the class this morning. But I'll just summarize it that, yes, there's some work, but there's probably three ways to do it with three levels of complexity. So the easiest, and I wasn't even going to talk about that, is people that just drive around with a gas or diesel generator. In fact, I sent you I posted a picture of that with a Tesla with a generator on the back. And that sort of doesn't count, right? but we can throw that out there.
You know, maybe a trailer with some solar panels, maybe 40, 50, 60 feet long.
That would work, too.
Yeah, for driving during the daytime. Yeah.
Now, the other way is, I think, the most feasible, and this actually might get some traction, is just there's what's called a frunk in the front of a Tesla. So there's no room in the back, but you have a big front trunk. Put a small generating, basically gasoline-powered generator there. And then the purpose of it is to convert your EV into basically a hybrid EV. So that generator will basically just be charging the batteries. So you don't need a big radiator. You don't need a big gas tank. You don't even need to run it all the time. You can buy your Tesla with the smallest possible range options. That's going to save you some money. And then just mount this generator in your frunk, and it'll go on, you know, depending on how you set it up. It can be running all the time, or it can be running only when you need to start recharging the batteries. Now, there's a more extreme conversion where, like you said, you can put a V8 engine into the Tesla. That's going to require a bigger radiator, a lot of work, and I would say basically that's going to cost probably more than you could just probably buy the most exotic sports car and have that V8 already in there. But, yes, there's a guy that did that. Vince put a V8 in his Tesla, and I guess he just wanted to prove he could do it and make some noise. place. So apparently, though, this is catching on, and there's more people doing it because I have heard overnight some news reports, and that's why I'm doing some research, and I'll have a more extensive class on this coming up next week. But a trend to convert your EV to run on gas, at least partly on gas. And if you remember years ago, people were saying, oh, how can I convert my gas car to be an EV? If you remember, there are people all trying to do that. Well, looks like it's gone back the other way, Vince. There's actually now a growing number of people. Could be range anxiety. It could be they're just, you know, worried about wanting to have multiple sources and not having to be looking for a place to charge their car or to wait for the charging to actually make a EV run on gasoline.
Now,
you sitting down?
You did all this with a straight face, and you're being serious.
Oh, this is you know, people know I play practical jokes, but I sent you a link. I don't know if you have time to open it, but
yeah, I got
it's for real.
I got it.
Yeah, it's for real.
Yeah, and so here, Bert, let's have a short arithmetic lesson. So, you know, people used to, you know, back in the muscle car days, people would talk about horsepower. How many horsepower is under the hood, you know? 250, 300, 375, you know. Big numbers were thrown out. And it was horsepower. People didn't talk much about torque, but they talked about horsepower. So we all know, those of you who were in class at USA Prepares, you all know 746 watts. 746 watts equals one horsepower. You all know that. So if you think about a generator that might fit under the hood of a, you know, the frunk of a Tesla, you might be able to squeeze a 5-horsepower generator in there. That's 3,500 watts. So if you're running that gasoline power generator, if you could do it without, you know, setting the frunk on fire, you know, or the carpeting, or the, you know, fiberglass, or the plastic, because the exhaust pipe of a generator, gas power generator, if you were to look at it at night, it glows red, as in red hot. I'm not exaggerating. Just try it. Or just take your lawnmower and start it up and run it at, you know, lawn cutting RPM, and just look at the muffler. You'll see it glows red hot. You don't see it during the daytime because the sun's so bright. But during the night, you'll see that it runs red hot. All right, so the point is, it'd be dangerous to do that. But if you could, you could probably squeeze a 5-horsepower generator in there. And so, you know, when you're in the parking lot and someone says, well, how many horsepower is that Tesla? You could proudly say, 5 horsepower. That's all. Now think about this. Do you think your 20 horsepower lawnmower, you know, with a 42 inch cut, you know, riding lawnmower like a Cub Cadet or a Troy Belt or one of those that they sell at the Chinese factory outlet in the summer, do you think one of those 20 horsepower lawnmowers hooked up to a tow rope could pull a Tesla? Do you think so? Well, you could be putting an engine, a gas-powered engine with 5 horsepower hooked up to a generator under the trunk, and you could have 1/4 the amount of horsepower of a lawnmower, and you would have the same results that you would expect. It probably would coast downhill. Not so good uphill. Unless you ran that, you know, gas-powered generator for several days to get enough electricity in the battery bank to get you uphill. Bert, no kidding. I am not exaggerating with what I just said.
Yeah, no, that's true. So apparently what at least some of these conversions are is they're using the generator to keep the batteries topped off and not to power the wheels. Now, the V8 swap, yeah, that was major. That was literally... basically, think of it as just taking a Tesla body and putting a whole different drivetrain in it. So that was the complete other extreme. But if you're just putting a gas generator in to just run and keep the batteries topped off, you know, that may not be such a bad idea. And by the way, we are not suggesting to class to go out this weekend and start experimenting in your garage with, you know, buying a generator at Home Depot and trying to put it in the front of your Tesla. We are not, We are not suggesting that. We don't want to run on small gas generators at Home Depot.
Nothing negative about Home Depot, but class, you'll probably set that Tesla on fire if you put a generator in the trunk and ran it with the front bonnet.
Not to mention a problem with the warranty when you bring it in for your 30,000 mile service.
The answer really is, Bert, I'm sorry to say this, but the answer is just stay with a gasoline or diesel powered vehicle. So yesterday I came back from the doctor's appointment with Mrs. Finelli and our son, and we took my old jalopy, and it's a 1996 straight diesel, no turbo. Do you know that that thing went uphill and downhill, and it got 40 miles to the gallon around town, 40 mpg around town? This is an E-Class Mercedes. So it's a full-size car. It's not the super luxury stretch, deluxe model, but it is a full-size, real heavy Mercedes, 1996.
Well, six-cylinder. It might be counterintuitive, but in many cases, a car or a truck like yours can actually get better mileage going up a hill and then down than going straight. And the reason for that is quite straightforward, is that when you go up the hill, you're operating that engine at maximum efficiency. So, your percent of diesel that you're burning into power at the wheels is at its max. When you're going down the hill, you can take your foot off the accelerator and coast, and although the engine will be very inefficient at that point, it's burning almost no fuel. So many vehicles, it's almost paradoxical, but if you think it through, you can see why, as I explained, can get better mileage going, climbing a hill and then coasting back down.
Well, some vehicles, like there's some Buick models, older Buick models, I believe Century is one. Saab, S-A-A-B, used to make one called a Sonet 3 back in the 70s. And it was kind of a good-looking fiberglass old sports car, size of an MG. And if you took your foot off the accelerator, it would go into freewheeling mode, which is kind of neat for going downhill. Now, not all cars do it, but I believe that some models of Buick were like that, and they got fantastic fuel economy. Now, look that up, because I've never had one, but I remember reading about it that does happen with some models of vehicles. So it doesn't always happen. Typically, most vehicles, when you take your foot off the gas or accelerator pedal, the torque converter does stay engaged and the automatic transmission does stay connected, and there's some slippage, but you don't freewheel. It's not like putting the vehicle in neutral and coasting all the way down. Bert, we have a call on the line, Herman in Nevada. Herman, welcome. And by the way, I got your email this morning. Thank you for helping one of our instructors who lives on an island, also known as a continent, also known as Australia. Thank you so much.
Good morning. My pleasure. I wrote you an email back. Happy as she is, I'm 100 times happier. To get resources to people immediately that need them is what USA Prepares is all about.
Yeah. Well, we like to help each other. We really do. We like to help nice people. We're not so, or at least I'm personally not so inclined to help mean people. We're going into a break. We'll be right back. Bert's with us. Herman, we just have a couple minutes because Bert has a full syllabus today.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how did it go for Jake?
It what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Talking about boiling the ocean, dipping one Tesla in at a time. Bert's with us, California. Herman's with us. Herman, did you have anything else that you wanted to share?
Just one quick thing. I don't want to step on Bert's time, but I do have an EV electric car comment. When you mentioned the nascent iodine or iodine or any of these products, Vincent, if you had seen the Catherine Austin Fitz Planet Lockdown video I sent you, I think you know who she is. She was the assistant deputy director of HUD under Bush. She came to the most amazing conclusions, which are so simple to us. Don't support the enemy that's trying to kill you. Get away from the banks, Chase and B of A and the horrible banks. I'm dealing with them right now. And go to your local banks or local centers where you're going to not have someone that's trying to mess you up. And that applies also to Amazon. If people are going out looking for iodine, you know, Alex Jones is in a huge litigation right now that will be world-changing, or at least in America, on getting a fair trial and all of that. Support InfoWars stores or Mike Adams, the Health Ranger at Natural News, or, you know, support the Patriots, even if it costs a few pennies more. But when you go on Amazon, Bezos gets richer. And the same thing with PayPal. I just hate them. But that's just my personal feeling, that if we support good companies and not keep funding horrible companies, we got a better chance.
Very well said. Very well said.
Now, about the electric cars, I've actually built a prototype. It's a Hobart 4500 arc welder on one of those trailer extender. It's like a rack that goes into the trailer receiver hatch. And so I can do welding on the road, too. And, you know, I've tried it with propane tanks using a angle stop as a throttle through the carburetor throttle body so I don't have to run gas. But this is not so far-fetched what Bert is talking about. It's actually going to become very common. He's absolutely right. But, and by the way, I'm an EV car guy from way back. I used to have Revco slot cars. That was my EV cars. But I am considering getting an EV. So, Bert, you've convinced me I need a golf cart.
Well, you know, Herman, Vince and I have a little difference of opinion. Vince is totally into internal combustion engine. I actually feel that there's a place for plug-in hybrids where you have the best of both worlds. You have the efficiency of the electric engine. You have a gas generator that's burning to keep a very small battery pack charged. You can recover energy when you go downhill because your electric motors become generators. And you basically have two gas tanks, one for electricity, one for gasoline. So I'm a fan of that from both an engineering standpoint and a practicality standpoint. I'll let Vince speak for himself, but I think he's more of a fan of just going straight gasoline or diesel.
No, I agree with you on that, but it'll never work, Bert. Because, see, the powers that be want everyone tied to the grid so they can control us. But you're absolutely right. A hybrid is the most makes the most sense because I think the efficiency factor, as you brought up correctly, so many times of an electric motor and instant on torque and all of that, and the efficiency loss on an internal combustion engine, unless you could trap and reutilize the wasted heat in some kind of a heat sink, I think that that's one thing. The thing about gasoline or diesel engines that is so wonderful is the independence. But, Bert, I've got a question I'm going to ask you, and then I'm going to sit back and hold and not step on your time. Mike Rivero occasionally comes up with something smart. And he came up with an idea of having an interchangeable battery pack. I think it won't work because it would have to be so huge. But where instead of going to a charging station, you just swap out a universal fit plug-in battery pack that was already pre-charged.
Herman, they're working on that. And I'm going to tell class that, amazingly, there's a car race series called Formula E. So we all know Formula One Grand Prix. Well, related to that, there's Formula E, and that's exactly what they do. When they come in to the pit, they quickly swap out one battery pack for another, and the cars go back out, and there's a circuit that's been running for several years. Cars sound completely different, but it's a trip to watch. They're all electric, and when you come in for gas, well, you're coming in for a battery pack swap. And they are working on that for...
Herman, thank you. We'll be right back.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
We're just about 1 month away from the midterm elections in America. Last night, a debate for Arizona Senator took place between incumbent Democrat Mark Kelly, Republican Blake Masters, and long-shot Libertarian candidate Mark Victor. Senator Kelly.
I know what people are going through, and I know it's hard. That's why I've worked to cut costs.
Republican challenger Blake Masters.
Joe Biden's policies caused this, and those are policies that Mark Kelly in Washington has supported every single time.
A Delaware judge presiding over the lawsuit between Elon Musk and Twitter Incorporated postponed a trial in the matter Thursday, putting uncertainty into the mix. The ruling, granted by a request for Mr. Musk, effectively ended the negotiations for a settlement that would allow the two sides to quickly close the deal. Mr. Musk now has until October 28th to do so. USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
What is the difference between collagen protein and a whey protein? Pure collagen is an incomplete protein that supplies amino acids which support connective tissue repair. However, what determines most of the connective tissue synthesis in the body is the level of growth hormone. Children have wrinkle-free, plump skin and agile joints not because they're eating collagen every day, but because they have high levels of growth hormone. Low growth hormone levels results in wrinkles and diminished connective tissue health. Consuming collagen does not overcome this. Cold sterilized whey protein powder from grass-pastured cows is a complete protein and supports connective tissue health as well as glutathione production, immunity, detoxification, combats inflammation, supports muscle size and strength, energy, fat loss, and more. Connective tissue health is dependent upon proper nutrient levels, how clean the cellular environment is, and optimal levels of growth hormone. To learn more about a true fountain of youth protein powder called Green Meadow Whey and how to support youthful levels of growth hormone, go to bestwheyprotein.net or call 888-988-3325.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
It's gonna be sliding.
What are today's hot?
What
today?
God, you're
take my. When you go to the for 2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
to me, class, seriously, the battery pack might weigh 1,000 pounds. And it's fit into every crevice and corner and bump and dimple in the vehicle. So they get the maximum amount of cells to power an electric vehicle. So it's not like it's a square or a cube or a cylinder or a sphere. It's irregular in shape. And right now, I don't think there is a standard at which, you know, you just pop the trunk open and hook up a crane to a hook and or some kind of a strap that you lift the battery pack out and you just flip two levers and the plus and minus get disconnected. It's not like that. It's a big job to change a battery. So there's going to have to be some work in order to do that. But here's the truth of the matter. This is not a new concept of swapping batteries out. You know, fully charged batteries, swapping them out and putting, taking the depleted charged cells out and putting a freshly charged set in. It's been around for 123 years. And you all have done it. You all have changed the battery pack. I can guarantee it. Have you ever had a flashlight and you flip the switch on and batteries are dead? What do you do next? You put in a new set of batteries, right? Now, sometimes they're rechargeable. You know, in the last 50 years, they become rechargeable, maybe 60 years. But before that, you just buy a fresh set of batteries, throw out the old D-sized cells. Well, so this is not a new concept. It's been around for 123 years. Also, I can prove it to you another way. I have a cordless drill. It's made by Milwaukee. And sometimes I go up on the roof and I unscrew screws and screw them back in and put the roofing decking in. Or I carry this thing around with me, you know, as I need to on the farm where there's no power to, you know, plug in an extension cord. And do you know sometimes that battery bank or pack goes dead? So what do? I grab another one that's been fully charged. So we have been swapping battery packs for years, decades. Actually, over a century. If you consider the EverReady flashlight from 1899. So, Bert, you're right. This is a possibility, but still it makes no sense to me. To me, it's like, well, you know, I got a low charge, so let's swap that fuel tank out. Let's take that fuel tank out and let's put in a fuel tank that's got a, you know, it's full of fuel. It makes no sense to me. What does make sense is electric vehicles for short trip city use. That makes sense to me. But not for taxi cabs that are running all day, not for buses that are running all day, not for earth movers and excavators and bulldozers and backhoes and farm tractors. Absolutely not. And if it were possible, Caterpillar, John Deere, and Case International would be making excavators to mine rare earth metals that were electric powered, but they don't. For a whole bunch of reasons. One, they don't have the energy density. They don't have the ability to produce that much torque from a battery bank. And two, the locations where the rare earth minerals are there's no grid there. Back to you, Bert.
Yeah, well, those are all issues. Like you said, mining the rare earth minerals has turned out to be a real headache for the manufacturers of the batteries. But Vince, the way they need to do the cells, and this is going to take a little bit more engineering and probably raise the cost a little, but they need to do it so that the car can detect which cells have gone bad and then make it easy to pull just those cells out and replace them. You know, you can kind of think of it as if you had a flashlight with 40 D cells in it. I mean, you wouldn't, but some of those D cells may go bad at different times. And maybe that's a bad example because D cells are pretty mature.
That's a great example because that's exactly what the problem is. The problem is one or two or a few cells go bad, and they go, let's replace the whole 1,000-pound assembly. You're absolutely right.
Well, what I was going to say is that D cells are pretty mature, and usually they all go out at the same time. But with EV batteries, that's not the case. It's a new technology, and there's, you know, impurities in different cells and things like that. So actually in the EV batteries, and it'll probably be the case for a number of years, certain cells will just go out, you know, for whatever reason. Maybe it's vibration or shock or something. And so if they could do that and make it modular down to, you know, the size, you know, maybe something as small as your current car battery where they can just yank it out and put in a new one, that would be perfect. But, of course, that's going to mean redesign and add a little cost because right now it's not really accessible to where you could do anything like that with your batteries. But, that would make more sense than just, you know, pulling out the whole darn battery pack and putting in a new one. And I know know, as you said in the earlier segment, the batteries are all over. I mean, they have, you know, some under the floor, some different areas of the car, and it's, you know, designed to balance the car and lower the center of gravity and all that. But there's no easy way to do it right now. But I think if they move in that direction, it would make a lot of sense. So, but Vince, yes, there are people adding gas engines and presumably possibly diesel to their EVs as a way to convert, basically converting your EV to a hybrid, really, more or less. That's going on.
So yesterday I was in the car with Mrs. Finelli and our son, and I was behind the steering wheel. And I said to our son, you know, if we could take the straight six engine out and transmission out of a Mercedes E300D, so it's a 3 liter E-series Mercedes, and put it in our 1999 Dodge gas-powered four-wheel drive heavy-duty pickup truck, then we would have something. Because we could probably still get somewhere around 30 miles to the gallon with this Dodge real heavy-duty pickup truck. I think, you know, if you look at Ford, Chevy, and Dodge back around the 1999 era, Dodge was the heaviest. I mean, we've worked on them all. Dodge was the heaviest. Chevrolet is the most comfortable. Ford is somewhere in the middle. Now, Greg has a Ford, and he loves it. And it's a great truck, too. But as far as real heavy duty, I don't think you can beat the Dodge. But the darn thing has, I mean, the suspension system is like a coat of paint. It has as much shock absorbing as a coat of paint. It's a rough ride, but it's real heavy for the farm. But it gets lousy mileage, like 15 with a gas engine, 29.9 with a Cummins turbo diesel. We have one of each from 1999. And the Cummins turbo diesel is a rough riding thing, too. It's even worse, but it gets great mileage and it can pull. But if we could, I really think efficiency is where it's at. I don't think for the long haul, for heavy-duty pulling, you know, for farm trucks and people who need a truck, I don't think electric vehicles is the answer. I really don't think so. And the humor of it is the, you know, the trailer hitch with the platform on the back where people sometimes put their luggage, and some people with EVs get a trailer hitch and they put a small Honda generator. I mean, really? That's because they know that they're going to get stuck. And it's worth spending $1,000 to have the peace of mind that, you know, maybe they can just pull over the side of the road when they run out of electricity and start that gasoline engine. But frankly, it costs way more to run a generator, charge the generator, I mean, have the generator charge a battery bank than it is to just have a gasoline engine in the vehicle in the first place.
Yeah. Well, think about it, Vince. You know, picture yourself 20 years from now, you're driving on the interstates, and you come to the rest stop where they also have all the EV chargers, and you find out there's a power failure, and your car's not charging. What do you do? I mean, what are people going to do? You know, I've driven cross country many times. If the rest stop is closed, or you know, if the facilities are closed, there's usually a way to handle that out in the woods. But if you can't charge your EV, what do you do? I mean, you're in the middle of nowhere on Interstate 80. You pull in to where the chargers are presumably set up, in the near future, and there's no electricity. I mean, imagine that. And I don't think that's going to be, something hypothetical. I think that's future we may face. So hopefully those areas will have backup diesel generators that they can fire up and the generators will start running and they can provide emergency power for everybody. Otherwise, could you imagine just the interstates piling up with people that can't get to the next stop because they can't charge?
Well, Bert, what you're saying could happen this afternoon.
Oh,
literally.
Oh, yeah.
This afternoon. You know, if Vladimir.
Driving. Yeah.
if Vladimir Putin has his way, and he says, "Ah, that's it. You know, I'm sick of Joe. I'm sick of those darn Americans. The heck with it. Let's just push the button." Okay. If he does that, and then Joe says, "Oh yeah," and then so we return nuclear fire and we take out everybody's grid. No one with an electric vehicle is going anywhere. And if you seriously, class, if you think that you can have a solar array and you can just charge up and go where you want to go, I'm telling you, our farm, the electricity that we use to power our farm for an entire day is not enough to charge one Tesla half charge.
Yeah.
It will take 2 or 3 days of the electricity needed to run our farm to charge a Tesla once.
Yeah,
and if the grid goes down, you're right on the money. Bert, we've got Charles in Ohio, and he's chomping at the bit. And Charles is our efficiency, automotive efficiency instructor. Welcome, Charles.
Welcome. Hello, gentlemen. I hope you're both well in the class.
Morning.
I hate interrupting, and I know your time's short. I just wanted to say that Edison had a battery exchange program for most of the cars in 1910. The majority of cars on the road were electric, and Edison had a battery exchange program at that time. So, I mean, this is one. I'm more like Vince. I feel right now we need internal combustion is the way to go, and internal combustion can be vastly more efficient than 30%. It is less than 30% now, but that's because they want it that way. But just a quote, supposedly, the fact is that Mr. Edison and I have been working on for some years on an electric automobile, which would be cheap and practical. Cars have been built for experimental purposes, and we are satisfied now that the way is clear to success. But they had something back then. They had to cancel it. I'll let you go, though. Thanks for talking.
Thank you, Charles. And I actually saw up close a 1906 electric car. I saw one up close. Charles, thank you so much.
Do you have the level of health and energy you desire? The Western world's oldest superfood supports energy, mood, elimination of cravings for junk foods or sweets, elimination of pain, detoxification, immunity, muscle building, fat loss, and even has anti-cancer properties. The oldest superfood is cold-sterilized whey protein from grass-pastured cows. Unlike heat-sterilized whey protein powder, cold-sterilized is easy to digest, and for most dairy-intolerant people, they digest it fine. Green Meadow Whey is the only cold-sterilized whey protein powder on the market. Green Meadow Whey is imbued with a life-giving energy that most people can feel in the form of improved energy and mood for 6 or more hours at a time. Unheated whey is nature's most powerful support for glutathione production, so essential to the health of every cell of your body. Let Green Meadow Whey erase your fatigue, fortify your immune system, support your detoxification, support your fat loss and lean muscle development, and lift you to new levels of health. To learn more or order, go to bestwheyprotein.net or call 888-988-3325.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Bert Pertonis is with us. He's the CEO of a California corporation. He started many corporations in the electronics field. And he and I were partners in one of those corporations, you know, in the traditional sense of partner. And we go back a long way, about 50 years. Bert, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I mean to put you on the spot. You know, you have a syllabus that we didn't get to today. I mean, I've got it right in front of me, and we didn't get to it other than just, you know, one of one, two, three, four, five, six, seven items. We got to one of the seven. Would you please consider being with me on Tuesday, next Tuesday?
I think we can arrange that, Vince. I'll have my people talk to your people, and you can have, you know, your back office contact us, and we'll try and work that out.
Okay. So you know, my people are pretty slow, so it might take a couple weeks to figure it out. But, okay, I'll put it on the calendar and see if I can get them scheduled to contact your people. You know,
yeah,
within
so,
a few weeks.
So, Vince, let's just handle a couple of quick bullets. So, have you heard of Waymo, driverless car?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, so it's a division of Google. It's been in existence for about 10 years. Google's invested about $30 billion in the project. At one point, they were valuing Waymo, if Google had spun it out, as being worth $200 billion. I don't think that's the case anymore. So, Vince, after over 10 years and $30 billion, nothing works. It doesn't work. I mean, it's sort of like useless because it doesn't do what it's supposed to do. The cars, you know, stop or can't deal with, they can't deal with what they call, there's a word for it, it escapes my mind, but basically left turns. They cannot deal with left turns. Left turns when you don't have your own light to say you can go green on through a left turn lane. So we will, you know, is that called unencumbered left turns? They cannot deal with that. If you have a 10% chance of a collision with an oncoming car, I think that number needs to be something like 100.00% that it's safe. So the cars don't work. They can't really be deployed. And Google's doesn't know what to do now after over 10 years and $30 billion with their driverless car project.
Yeah, and And they're not the only ones in the driverless car project. I mean, Tesla has their mode of taking control of the pedals and the wheel. It makes no sense to me. It makes no sense. Unless the owners or the CEOs and the boards of directors and all top management of these companies can be sued for the damage they do. And that'll stop it right in its tracks. If you tell Elon that he is personally liable for all the damage that the Teslas caused by crashing into nouns, persons, places, and things, it would shut him right up. Because the liability is too great. Even with being, one of the richest. And you know what? Bert, where would he be without all these government contracts? Where would he be? That's where the money came from.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt the government subsidies and contracts has helped him. But Vince, he's been able to get rockets up and back for way less than NASA. I mean, NASA is still trying to launch a rocket designed to take us back to the moon, and they can't even get the first one launched off the launch pad with nobody on it because they're so confused at NASA. Elon's sending rockets up in a steady schedule. They just launched one up to the space station. So I give him a lot of credit and think, innovation and private enterprise. So, yes, he's had some government support, but that's way better than having the government actually running everything.
Bert, we were kind of kidding around with the idea of USA Prepares running for president. And you know what? I think we could do a better job than is being done. There's no question. Through just common sense. And if you put USA Prepares in place of Elon Musk, there's nothing that I can think of that he has done that hasn't been done before. Okay? Electric cars, boring holes in the ground, faster air travel, faster launches in space. All that's been done before. And all he has done, in my opinion, is said, I can do it, and then scrambles and figures out who he can hire to do it.
Vince, I've always said the idea is not the important part. It's being able to follow through on it. That's been my philosophy in business. I've taken other people's ideas or they've given them to me, and it's the ability to take that somewhere, and not being the first sometimes is a recipe for success.
Let me say that the same way you said it. Not being first is the recipe for success. Not being first. Let the other guy bleed all over it, and then take those ideas and not steal them, but use what is available publicly and do a better job. You're absolutely right. Bert, I'm looking forward to broadcasting. I'll have my people get in touch with your people, and we'll see if we can do it next Tuesday. What do you think?
That sounds good, Vince. Sounds like a plan.
That's great. Class?
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.